Hey, this is Wesley Ryan, and thanks for tuning in to a brand new episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, a show that tries to combine the best of positive psychology and the best of pop music into one full-blown hour of inspiring songs and messages. And this week, I am thrilled to share what is easily the most fun I've ever had in an interview, and I mean ever. Now, if you're a child of the 90s like me, chances are you remember the Mickey Mouse Club. It literally defined my early teenage years. And if you miss the Mickey Mouse Club somehow, my first piece of advice would be to build a time machine and go back to 1990. Or I guess you could just get on YouTube. That's probably a little easier. But you're still probably aware of some of the very talented people that came from that show. You may have heard of Britney Spears or Ryan Gosling, Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera. But if you're not as familiar with the Mickey Mouse Club, you may not yet have heard of the incredibly talented Lindsay Alley. But no worries. For the next 60 minutes, I will happily share our interview, and trust me, you're going to get to know Lindsay pretty well. We covered quite a bit of ground in our interview, but I have to start with what led to the creation of her current cabaret show, Blood, Sweat, and Mouseketeers. It's playing at the Rec Room in Houston, Texas on Friday, March 17th, and I am super excited to check it out. If you are ever a fan of the Mickey Mouse Club, or just of laughter in general, you should totally meet me there. You can head to eventbrite.com and search for Blood, Sweat, and Mouseketeers, or you can find out more information about the show at lindsayalley.com or at our very own thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com. But for the story behind Blood, Sweat, and Mouseketeers, and the musical numbers that literally rip tears out of Lindsay Alley's face, all you gotta do is sit tight as we kick off our interview with the incredibly talented, and trust me, ridiculously hilarious, Lindsay Alley. Well, I'm really excited, like I said, for the show. And what led you to put Blood, Sweat, and Mouseketeers together?
Actually, you know, I've been doing these kind of one-person shows since I was in high school. It started way back in the day with my friend Barbara Smith. She was doing a series called People and Their Stories. And I started doing a show with her called Like It Is. And then that transformed into Telling It Like It Is, and then that transformed into Look Ma, No Ears, which I did with actually a former writer from the Mickey Mouse Club, Steve Weiner, and an amazing musical director named Bob Stein. And we ran for 6 weeks off Broadway in New York with this show. And it was really pretty cool. It had a multimedia effects and all sorts of just stuff. It was like a show. But then I got an offer to do a show on a gay cruise, a cabaret act. And the guy who saw the Look Ma, No Ears in New York said, can you bring that show on the cruise? I said, well, I could, but, you know, it would be a bit of an undertaking, but I have a cabaret act. And, of course, I didn't. So I had to write something. But it was a great sort of catalyst to write something. And then my friend David Sexton got involved at that point, and he said, people are actually interested in this story still of the Mickey Mouse Club. And of course, at this point, I, you know, thought, why? It's been so many years. I don't know why anybody would be even remotely interested in it. He said, no, there's some level of interest here. I think it's worth exploring. And it has been through so many incarnations now, and it continues to grow. So the one-person show has grown out of many different shows, and now it's this, you know, club act, which I can easily do anywhere. And the nice thing about it is, while it has the Mickey Mouse Club background and references, I'm constantly plugging in things from my current everyday life. And so it never really gets old, and it never feels dull. It always feels fresh and new, which is what we all strive for as artists, to constantly be inspired by our current circumstances.
Well, you've done so much theater, too, and so just seeing your stage presence is great. But I have a tiny confession to make, and
Please. That
is that I am what my friends call a bad gay for several reasons, one of which is my limited...
You know who Cheetah Rivera is, right? You're not going to say Cheetah who to me, right?
I'm not going to, but I could in theory.
Oh, no, Wesley. Wow, we're taking your card away. Oh, God.
Well, I can tell you every Madonna song ever released by like months, so maybe
Okay,
that
all
gets me
right,
back.
all right. That gets back in slightly good graces.
But with all your theater experience, if you had to take someone with a shameful lack of Broadway knowledge and recommend like four or five Broadway songs, like what would you recommend?
Well, let me just say that this is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm saying this, but my all-time favorite musical theater song is "On the Street Where You Live" from My Fair Lady. When I hear like an amazing tenor sing that song, I die. I die. It just, I don't know what it does to me, but it physically moves me, and it moves me to tears every time I hear it.
I have often walked down the street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet.
That was Dean Martin with On the Street Where You Live from My Fair Lady. Yikes. Let's keep listening as Lindsay's judgment of my lack of Broadway knowledge continues, but I pay her back by making her sweat. How do you make a Mouseketeer sweat? Let's find out together.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go so old school here. I'm like a little old lady. I've always leaned towards old school musical theater. It's my favorite theater. My heart is in My Fair Lady and The Sound of Music and Showboat and She Loves Me. Anything from Into the Woods, anything Children Will Listen. I mean, I think if you're going to start somewhere, start there. Start Into the Woods. Oh, gosh. Oh, now my head is spinning. There are just so many shows that I could watch over and over. Oh, The Overture of South Pacific. I cry every time I hear it. I saw it at Lincoln Center with my dad years ago, and he and I sat there and bawled during the overture. I mean, tears literally shot out of my eyes. And I could listen to anything from that show all day. So, yeah, now I'm sweating talking about it with you. I'm so excited.
Then I'm doing my job. Fantastic.
You're doing your job and sweating.
For some more musical theater inspiration, let's take Lindsay Galley's advice. She clearly knows much more than I do. And start some back-to-back Broadway numbers with a track from Into the Woods. This is Children Will Listen.
Sometimes people leave you halfway through the wood. Do not let it grieve you.
I'm shamefully going to say I know none of those except for Sound of Music, so.
Oh my God, that is so embarrassing.
I know.
You're ashamed of yourself.
I really am.
Ashamed.
Do you have a favorite Sound of Music song so I can at least somewhat
You know, I love them all. I really do. But there's this song that was actually, I don't think it's in the film, but it's not in the stage show. It's not in the Broadway show. It's called Something Good.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know that song?
I do. That's my favorite.
Childhood. It's so beautiful. I actually sang it to my husband on our wedding day,
aww,
which is really so cheesy. Oh my God, so cheesy. But anyway, now I'm going to start crying. I'm all hormonal over here, Wesley.
Well, I'm going to start crying. I'm pretty sure I'm not hormonal, but
let's
do it. Well, Something Good was the song. I came out when I was 24 and I had my first boyfriend and first puppy love, and I discovered that song and I was like, oh my God, this musical totally gets me. And he literally dumped me the next day. So.
Oh God. Did it ruin the song for you?
I couldn't listen to it for a good probably 2 or 3 years, yeah.
Oh, that's devastating. Yeah. See, when somebody goes and ruins a song like that, that's not cool.
Right.
That's not okay.
When I'm dating now, if someone likes the same music as I do, I'm like, no, because if we break up, you're going to ruin things for me. So
I know exactly. Then I'm not going to be able to have Madonna. You can't take Madonna in the custody battle.
Never, never. Luckily, I was able to finally find a Broadway number, or at least a number inspired by Broadway, that could redeem myself in Lindsay's eyes. But more importantly, this song serves as a very important life lesson for me, and maybe you. Obviously, music is highly connected to memory, and it can remind us of great things and not so great things. When I hear this song today, I could choose to think about being dumped well over 10 years ago, but instead, I opt to focus on something good. And that, my friends, is the beautiful message in the song you're about to hear. Sometimes it takes a while for the good things we do to pay off, but when they do, they are beautiful, magical moments. Please join me in singing along to the beautiful Something Good from The Sound of Music.
Somewhere in my wicked, miserable past, there must have been a moment of truth. For here you are standing there.
Oh, well, that's some great Broadway stuff. What pop artists, like past, present, really inspire you?
Oh, man. Again, I'm gonna disappoint you here. no kidding. I'm like a little old lady. When I have my Pandora station on at night, it's always Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. I have this affinity with this, I don't know, old school swing, jazz, just standards. I want to hear standards all the time. Shaking my martini, making my guy dinner. I feel like, a 50s housewife. Vacuuming in pearls. Back in the day, I'm going to say Sinead O'Connor.
Okay.
I mean, like, right. Do you judge me?
No.
Like, love?
No, I just judge how awesome
Lisa
you are.
Lisa Loeb. We're talking about Lisa Loeb. Love Lisa Loeb. The Eagles was the first concert I ever went to, actually with my fellow Masketeer, Alana Miller.
Yeah.
We went to the Hell Freezes Over concert in Orlando, and I felt so cool. Got the t-shirt. The Eagles' Greatest Hits Volume 1 was the first album I ever owned.
Well, that's quite the eclectic range there, Lindsay.
Yeah, isn't it? Now that I'm, like, saying it all out loud, I'm not as lame as I thought I was.
Fantastic.
I'm actually kind of cool, all right?
I would agree with that, absolutely. All right, now we're in business. Lindsay talked about such an eclectic range of beautiful pop songs. And yes, the word is eclectic, not eclectic, if only my microphone had spell check. But pronunciation flaws aside, I was grinning ear to ear as Lindsay shared how some of my favorite love songs have inspired her. Ella Fitzgerald, Sinead O'Connor, The Eagles. Let's sit back and enjoy some of the most amazing pop songs ever written that have inspired millions of people.
Stars shining bright above you. It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away.
Well, I was wondering, you know, did you guys have any say on the songs that you performed on the Mickey Mouse Club? Because there was certainly a wide array of music on that show as well.
Yeah, we did, actually. We had a brilliant musical director for the pilot in the first season. And maybe she wasn't there for the pilot. I can't remember. But my tiny little mind can only take in so much. But her name is Barbara Epstein. And she convince them to push the envelope and do things, you know, not pop. Like, I did Anyone Can Whistle from Anyone Can Whistle, which is a Sondheim song. So I did Broadway on the Mickey Mouse Club, and I remember her really fighting for that number. And it ultimately ended up being one of the coolest numbers I think we ever did on the show, because I did it live. I did it in one take.
One of my favorite things about the Mickey Mouse Club was the opening theme, which featured every Mouseketeer popping into the screen and introducing themselves. The Mickey Mouse Club ran for 7 seasons, and Lindsay was one of only 3 people to appear all the way from the pilot to the very last episode. So when you look back at the openings from every season of the Mickey Mouse Club, which I've done multiple times, judge me all you want, you can literally see Lindsay grow up and change before your eyes. But the one thing that stayed the same was that smile. When I think back to that theme, I can always picture Lindsay popping into the screen, gleefully saying, "Lindsay," with the most adorable smile ever. And now that I know that so many of the songs she performed were songs that she actually loved and got to choose, well, it makes all the sense in the world. Let's check out one of the songs that put that huge smile on Lindsay's face with another great Broadway tune that I didn't know about until you told me, Lindsay. I'm sorry. I'm trying. This is "Anyone Can Whistle."
Anyone can whistle, that's what they say, easy. Anyone can whistle any old day.
You always perform better when you're doing something you like and something you want to sing. Music is so personal, isn't it? It really is. It moves you from a very emotional place. Yeah. Even the fun stuff, you know? So, yeah, I get it.
Well, what moved me was the Wilson Phillips, "The Dream Is Still Alive" video that you did on the Mickey Mouse Club. That's a classic film.
You know, there's a story behind that.
Oh, I was hoping there was.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. So the version that you ultimately saw with second cast, I probably shouldn't be telling this, but here's hoping someone from Disney sues me, because look at that headline.
Right.
Former Mouseketeer sued by Disney. I mean, God, that's, you can't pay for press like that. but the story with that is the original video that we shot was, I think it was me and Alana and Jennifer and my Lynn. And I think that was just the four of us. And, the original one we shot was on the beach, and we were in the water, and we were wearing clothes, but we were in, you know, we were cavorting in the water. And when Mouseketeer Dave was the guy who cut the video, I'm pretty sure it was Mouseketeer Dave. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, he sent the video back, and the note from the executives was something like, "We don't wet Mouseketeers." And I just thought, oh my gosh, they should have released that sexy Mouseketeers in the ocean video for all those pubescent teenage boys out there to have their moment. Because, man, the video that we wound up with was so saccharine and so sweet. It was like cleaning. I think that the message was about cleaning up the environment.
It was, yes.
I know.
It was also very scary because you were surrounded by candles. And I remember I was like 11, but I was like worried for your well-being. So I'm glad that you got out of that okay.
Well, we all had enough hairspray in our hair at the time. I'm sure we would have all gone up in flames. But yeah, listen, I'm going to try to find that original video and send it to you, because I think even a gay guy would appreciate that.
That sounds like fantastic. I would love that so much.
Oh, it was really, it was pretty sexy. Of course, there was one shot where he just panned over and we all like had wet hair and, you know, we were running our hands through our hair. It was very, very scandalous. And I remember it being, you know, a really big deal when it happened. So yes, there is no such thing as wet Mouseketeers. We don't get wet.
That's a shame.
Boy, that sounded great.
Oh, my. I couldn't let it die.
That was Wilson Phillips with "The Dream Is Still Alive," one of my all-time favorite inspirational songs, which now I'll never listen to the same way again, thanks to Lindsay's hilarious backstory from the Mickey Mouse Club. Thank you for sharing that, Lindsay. It's probably my favorite story ever on the positive psychology of pop music. At this point, if you're like me, you're wondering how Lindsay got that incredible sense of humor. And if you've ever seen her web series, On the Patio, you already know the answer. But if not, you can hear Lindsay tell you for herself.
Your show has gotten such rave reviews about how you connect with the audience and how funny it is. So I was wondering where that sense of humor comes from.
Oh God, my mom, for sure. My mom is actually the star of our family. She really is. And she's a star because she doesn't know that she's a star. And she's just one of the most naturally funny people I know. The stuff that comes out of her mouth astounds me. And she's not crass. She never uses profanity. She's just hilarious. Her unique perspective on life is so charming and delightful. And a couple years ago, she and I did a web series together called On the Patio. And it was then that I realized, oh my God, I know where I kind of get my timing from. It's from watching her for years just have these deadpan looks or have these, you know, really witty one-liners.
I love that you mentioned On the Patio because I was watching some of those over the weekend. Incredibly funny. Your dynamic is hilarious.
She just has this unique outlook and it's charming. She's just charming, naturally charming and funny and just wonderful.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments was when you asked her what Broadway song she would have liked to have seen Madonna cover for the halftime show. Well, I wanted to put you in the hot seat and see if you had a Madonna song that you would like Carol Burnett to cover, kind of flipping that whole Broadway pop thing.
A Madonna song for Carol Burnett to cover. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to have to think. I'm going to have to go classic and go Material Girl.
Okay, all right.
I don't know, just the idea of Carol Burnett singing that just makes me laugh in general. I mean, anything Carol Burnett does is kind of brilliant, but I think she could do something special with that.
My head went immediately to Like a Virgin and the whole MTV Video Music Award wedding dress.
Oh my God, yes. Wesley, I was trying to keep it clean for our family show here. But yes, okay, I'm going to have to go with you on that. Like a Virgin, win. Win.
I love that Lindsay came to the dark side with me, but I'm actually going to let her win this particular battle and appreciate her trying to keep the show PG, except for that whole wet musketeer thing. But for a very entertaining and clean fantasy, let's all picture Carol Burnett performing this next classic Madonna hit. And P.S., if anyone ever gets this to Carol Burnett and it leads to any kind of Material Girl moment, I will literally be your Material Girl for life. I don't know what that means, but it's probably best not to think about it. This is Madonna, not Carol Burnett, for now, with Material Girl. I really want to talk up the humor because I'm so excited for the show and you're just so naturally funny. So what is it you think, especially today in today's world, that is the reason why we need laughter and humor as much as we do?
Are you kidding me right now?
I could answer it, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, God. I can't think of a time when we need it more. You know, I certainly don't want to get political, but our country's divided and that's all there is to it. It's divided and it's a scary time and it's uncertain and gosh, I feel like I can't even watch anymore. And when I do watch, I'm in some sort of constant state of anxiety trying to balance, you know, my Ketel One and my Lexapro, you know what I mean? Like just trying to get the balance of my vodka and my antidepressant straight. But, you know, we've survived worse and we will continue to survive and art will flourish and humor will flourish and music will be great because we so desperately need it right now. Humor is the one thing that unites us and art unites us and music unites us. And, I just think now more than ever, artists have to dig deep and do what we do. Which is to lift spirits and to reflect back and, you know, shine a light on humanity as a whole. So I know that sounded rather broad, but I think you know what I'm getting at.
No, that was beautiful. I tried to wrap the episode up with something similar to that, but you just did that for me more beautifully than I would
good.
Have. So thank you.
Well, good. Yeah. But you know, when you turn on CNN and you just start biting your lip and you're thinking, oh gosh, what's happened now?
You know, so, I work out every morning at 5 a.m. and the gym has like all these TVs. And so it's just constant.
You do that on purpose?
Yeah.
You work out at 5 a.m.?
I know.
Okay.
I have issues.
Yeah.
But
wow.
It's just this row of like bad news every morning. And, you know, I was to the point where I would like lift facing away from the TVs like some weirdo in the corner, like Blair Witch stuff. But I started
No. I...
watching the Saturday Night Live spoofs, and that is so relieving for me.
Yeah, no, it's like healing, isn't it? It's healing. Like, because it's none of it is anything to laugh at. Like, none of it.
Right.
But it at least that does provide some relief in all the chaos. And it's no matter what side you're on, you're feeling it. You know what I mean? And it's not even about sides. It's about people getting together and having a freaking conversation. And that's like the big thing. It's like no one's really talking. So it's just I'm going to dig my heels in and stand my ground. But if we all, could have a conversation, I think we'd be much better off. But
Well, that for me, that's how
anyway,
music and art and humor leads to that conversation. So very,
totally. It's a way in. It's a way in. It starts the conversation.
As I told Lindsay, I try to end the show with a nice summary and wrap up of everything we've talked about, but I honestly could not have said that any better than Lindsay herself. Humor, music, and any form of art at all are so needed right now. And that's why I'm so grateful and appreciative for incredibly talented people like Lindsay, who not only work very hard to share their talents to make the world a better place, but who are also willing to share who they are and what inspires them on our show. Again, I'd love to see you at the Blood, Sweat, and Mouseketeer show in Houston's Rec Room on Friday, March 17th. And whatever you do, keep your eyes peeled on Lindsay Alley. It's so important for us to support the arts and for people like Lindsay who work so hard to inspire us all. And speaking of support, thank you very much for tuning in to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music. If you enjoyed the show, remember you can head on over to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com for more episodes, interviews, and opportunities to voice your own musical inspirations. Thanks for joining me on this journey of sweat, fears, and wet mouseketeers, and thanks for tuning in to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music.